We'll dive into a weird one. It's not okay. Weird. Sorry. Bad introduction to a topic.
I assumed you had like a quiz for me or something. I don't know.
Oh, I wish. Oh, I should have a quiz. I should quiz for you.
you should quiz for me.
I should quiz for you. I was like, quiz me, daddy. I don't know. I was at a Bible study club last night.
You ridiculous human. Yes.
I know. What is happening?
I was at a Bible. Who is this guy? Who is this guy?
Hello. Hello, welcome. I'm Brendan. At said club, we were talking about ham radio and how it's required to have a license to be able to use a ham radio and get on the spectrum and whatever. And then
we're all on the ham radio spectrum.
Thank you.
Fucking title.
Title.
that's phenomenal. We're a minute in.
Title immediately. There's rules about what you can and can't say on ham radio, and you can't like argue. It's discouraged to talk about politics and religion and other things because it leads to debate.
Like,
and you're not
FCC
allowed
FCC type rules.
I don't know.
Or are
I don't
we talking?
Well, whoever issues etiquette. The license, I don't know.
Okay. So it is a matter of license.
Yeah. It's a matter of license. You can get your license revoked if you're arguing, and then you have no more access to that communication method. And I was like, we need that for the internet. what if there was a separate internet created that, you know, like most websites could port over. They get their license, they can move their website over, done and done, easy, check. And then people can go on to that licensed internet and only be interacting with people who are also licensed and who are going to maintain civility. And that was my thoughts. What do you think?
Yeah. When do you plan to move to North Korea?
Oh my god! I think I'm already living there.
What we're effectively saying is like
no free
we
speech.
Want only the nice people to be able to say the things, and you know, or the honorable people, or the people we trust,
No, we want not those really. To say the things. No, actually, but like just not. Vitriolic debate, like that's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
but yeah, where's the line?
yeah, I mean, we've got I see clip after clip after clip of Mr. President.
I think you're trying to run the country. Would you like some help?
Would you like some help with that? I mean. I'm finding the whole thing with the shutdown fascinating because he, for a start, thinks that... Sorry, I know we've gone here now, but, you know, I ain't got anyone else to talk about it with.
That's just life right now.
And you're living it. He thinks that there are, quote-unquote, Democrat departments within, you know, like the infrastructure of the US that, like, there are... I don't know what, like, I don't know, is like parks? Would that be like a Democrat department or?
Classically, it's a conservative department.
Right, okay.
We're supposed to conserve our great lands.
Yeah. I'll go with that. I mean, you would think that health and human services might be a somewhat, but no. And so he's purportedly using the shutdown to target agencies that he thinks of as Democrat run, or they have a Democrat ideology, like air traffic control. Is that Democrat, or is that Republican? Do we like air traffic control, or is that a nanny state that planes should be able to go where they want? You know, keep your government hands off of my airspace.
Yeah, I want my plane to fly with its wings vertical instead of horizontal.
Yeah,
come on.
As is my right as an American.
As is my right.
fascinating.
Is it?
I mean,
please,
I keep interrupting.
Just like, it's just one dude is out of his mind, and then a whole country, half a country that supports him. I don't know. I guess it is fascinating. It's just kind of sad.
To quote a man who's now become problematic in also in my eyes, Jimmy Carr. He is mentally ill, but we have the symptoms.
Sure.
You know, So Jimmy, I take it you're up on this whole like Riyadh. I like the fact we're pivoting
not
slowly.
I've just always kind of got the ick from him.
Oh, cool.
Like he's pretty funny, but like
we will put a pin in that.
Yeah.
I briefly like the fact that we have become a kind of issues podcast over the last 3 weeks because we're two angry men. The Riyadh Comedy Festival has been happening.
Is he there too?
Yeah. That's the end of Jimmy Carr. Bill Burr, what a disappointment. He'd be better. Yeah, man.
I like somebody. I don't know if it was John Marco or somebody was commenting like, "Oh, I would love to be there to see Dave Chappelle's set where he's just talking about trans people and like just going off way too much about trans people."
Yeah. And like, who are these comedians' clean sets, or what are these clean? You know what?
Yeah.
Because you know the list of restrictions of things they're not allowed to say is insane. Yeah, man. We like. It's just
okay. I'm gonna do it.
Okay,
I'm gonna put on my lawyer hat and advocate for the devil.
Okay,
why should the people of Saudi Arabia not get at least a little bit of clean comedy?
I think anyone who opposes these gigs happening are not opposing it on behalf or because of the people in Saudi Arabia, the everyday.
They're opposing the government, right?
Yeah, exactly. I was going to try America? A Jack and Jill type name and then port it over to like an Arab name, but I thought better of it.
Good. So then why is anybody coming to America?
Because...
We're fucking shit up right now.
There is a taste for American comedy.
Money.
Australian comedy, Canadian comedy, sometimes British comedy, in other places. But I don't know if America has a taste for actual culturally comedy. Like. On the nose to a Saudi Arabian comedy. Because, I mean, A, sure. Can something like that exist? And B,
okay.
Would it be palatable? Would the frames of reference even work? Because unless it became... Because I'm sure there are, like... I know there are Indian comics who've come over here and they've talked a lot about... there's a guy called Anubhav Pal is the one that comes to mind straight away. And he talks a fair bit about how fucked up things are. But also, he gets to do that and have a go at the Brits because we done fucked you up over there. So there's that. I think it's probably that Saudi Arabia likes American comedy, but Americans probably don't know what Saudi Arabian comedy is.
Yeah,
and judging by,
I was thinking like any country's comedians coming to America. Like,
plenty do, but like, not necessarily from the. Well, they do from the east, but then they bring like, I don't know. And I feel like they bring it, the jokes that are acceptable to an American audience.
Yeah, and I get like, America isn't putting on a government-sponsored comedy show.
No. Because. It doesn't need to.
Yeah. Except for, I guess, the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Yeah.
What's the difference there?
That brings me on to my second point.
Perfect.
Roast, like, culture.
Yeah.
Is interesting. And that's something we don't have here. As a country that is like, And I think maybe this is the difference between the cultures. Is like, we have, you know, we'll take the piss, as we might say, just mm-hmm. on a regular mm-hmm. basis. Mm-hmm. We don't necessarily make a ticketed event out of it. Mm-hmm. But like the roast is like a real, it's a real thing. And it's like, that's quite that's an interesting concept. It's like something that does yeah. not exist here at all. Just like, I mean, we've done it now, but we've borrowed it yeah. from America because yeah. it's a TV format, right. but it's not a thing. And I think it would be interesting if it were a thing, but it's like, I'm just working this out in my head, and I think I know why.
Okay.
It's because Brits, New Zealanders, Canadians maybe, Aussies, I'm not sure, probably not, the Irish, the Japanese, I know, have this, basically tall poppy syndrome.
Mm.
Not something from which Americans typically suffer.
No, we do not suffer that.
So they don't need taking down a peg in a formal setting, because for 99% of their life they can grow tall
yeah.
and they can self-actualize, whereas mm-hmm. Brits and New Zealanders and all the rest of it were constantly being told, mate, wind your neck in, fucking calm down, you're not that special.
Yeah, so that's probably why.
Solved it.
That makes sense.
Next.
Solved it. I'm more of a slow smoked fan anyway, as opposed to roasting.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know.
My favorite, the only sort of thing that is as close to any kind of sport, and it's not at all, at all adjacent to any kind of sport, but it's competitive, is happening soon, and I still can't figure out. I keep like trying to figure out how can I watch this. The Grand Beatbox Battle is coming up.
Oh hell yeah!
And I've only ever been able to watch clips, and I'd really want to be able to. And like they obviously film it, and they make these great videos. But I'd love to be able to just watch it, and I would buy a mm-hmm. ticket. Mm-hmm. But it's in Tokyo, and then but next year it's in Poland.
Ooh.
I could get to Poland. Yeah, I've been to Poland. I've been to Warsaw, where it is. And that could be fun.
Just, like you said last week, that your timing's off. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's constantly
just went very bad way too early.
But I was never going to go to Tokyo on my own.
No.
That would just be
that sounds
overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like, I just want to like. I don't know. I'm just assuming that something like that would be available to watch, but it would appear not. But
yeah,
that
does sound
the other thing
really
is
great.
Like, this is why websites need to exist more. This is why people need to go back to having websites. There isn't a website for this thing.
What?
There isn't like a place where you can just go and look at it all and go, well, who's like, you've got to go like dive into like an Instagram, YouTube, Wikipedia.
I hate it.
Just put it on a website. We solved this, guys. We solved this 20 years ago. You have a website.
And
you put the information on the website.
Yeah.
I want to watch the battles, Brendan.
I want
to watch them doing their lip curls.
They probably want you to come in person.
Which, you know, I might
fair,
be more inclined
also,
to do.
Yeah.
If I could.
What are some other cities you would love to visit but would never go alone?
That's a good question. Tokyo just scares the bejesus out of me.
Sure.
And yeah, navigating that as a visually impaired person who then also doesn't speak. No.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have no interest in going to China, although I know lots of people do.
Sure.
I can't think of like a city. Oh no, I have no. I ain't going anywhere near fucking Russia. They can go fuck themselves.
Uh-huh. Hong Kong.
Again, yeah.
Thailand.
Sort of, yeah. Yeah, actually, that's a good shout. Thailand would be another one. Yeah, mm-hmm. The city of Thailand. Would be another one that I would. Oh, okay. Yeah, another tangent.
I did say Bangkok after that, but
I know. That wasn't me mocking you.
Okay.
No. So there's a genre of video on these short form video platforms, which is I think rage baiting people
okay.
by pretending that they are, and Americans will play up to this a lot by pretending they're like dumb, and so they'll and ignorant about other places. I separate those two things because
are the Americans actually playing? I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, well, this is it. Like, I will park the whole Americans are dumb. That's a stupid stereotype. But I will absolutely play with the ball with like Americans don't know fuck all about anywhere else that's in America. Present wait. Company accepted, of course. Because you've
there's no, not accepted. I do not accept. But carry on.
Yeah. So so there's this like. You'll get these videos of these like wide-eyed Americans, and they're clearly, I mean, I really, really hope this is true, Brendan. My God. But it just feels so baity that they're like, my top five countries of the world. Number one, Europe. Number two, London. And it's just like, you are, because then what happens is 1,000,001 people jump into the comments sure. like, yep. Oh! It's not a country, and then someone else, sure, two sure, or three sure. people, will then record reaction videos.
Yeah,
where they're trying to be the higher status person, and I haven't yet figured out where the grift ends.
Sure,
because I'm like, do the people who are doing the reaction videos? Surely they know. But then I'm like, okay, that's fine. So now it's a double grift. So the reaction video people know that the thing that they were reacting to is a grift. And right. so that makes their video a grift.
Right.
And so none of it is honest anymore. Yeah. And I'm just like, anytime I see these now, I'm just like, either you haven't understood that this is clearly someone taking advantage and just trying to boost their thing in the algorithm and to look stupid for clicks and for money.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're pretending that you don't, and then that's just not fun. At least I don't think it's fun. You know, I assume most people watch these videos and think they are morally superior and intellectually superior. And it's like, everybody is grifting you. Everybody. All of them. You're not, like, the person making this video knows that it's a joke. The person making the reaction video knows that it's a joke. So what are you being morally superior about? Because both of these people mm-hmm. are lying to you.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the internet. What would you prefer? Would you like to fight a civil rights tweet a racial slur?
Hi, I'm Rachel Slur.
Hi, Rachel.
God.
That's a good song by Mike Doty called Rachel's Mom.
Oh, has she got it going on?
How's it go? Rachel's Mom. I don't remember.
It's got it going on.
No, it's not Stifler's. Or is it
Stacy?
Stacy. Oh, yeah. The Stifler's Mom is also a topic.
Stifler's Mom is also a very much thing. Mm.
I went to, I kind of co-hosted a little bit a Lord of the Rings party.
Oh, my sweet boy.
It was
boy.
The Harvest Moon / Shire Festival. And it was fun. I busted out my projector and found a loop of drone footage of where they filmed the Shire's, like the little Hobbiton, and projected up on the side of the house. And got some, and I had my two large JBL speakers playing soundtrack and everything, and it was really fun. And then Amy, who was actually hosting it, had themed food, like gummy lifesavers that were the rings of power, and focaccia that was lambus bread and some other stuff.
Cute is that.
And we all came dressed up. I was Tom Bombadil again. And
nice. That is very yes.
Yeah, it's a good a good character for me.
That's correct.
Yeah. I've got big yellow boots, Doc Martens that just look awesome. And Margaret was Goldberry, and Amy was Galadriel, and yeah, there was some hobbits and stuff that came. It was a good time.
I mean, 10 out of 10 for like pulling from the books rather than the films.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the nerd shit that I love.
Yeah, yeah. I really like how much that fandom enjoys both.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're nearly equal. It appears, or at least they're treated equally. And
yeah, just not the last three films. Yeah.
What?
Not the Hobbit films.
I think there's only the three. There's the.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
This sucks so bad.
I haven't seen the Hobbit movies. Yeah.
The thing that upset me the most, because I was like, I would watch them, it's fine, and like,
yeah, it's
they
just
are
a spectacle,
like what, yeah, woefully drawn out, and you know, we're culling from the Silmarillion as well, and that's all fine, money has to be made apparently. The thing where I just thought, oh, I just heard the ground move as J.R.R. Tolkien's body rotated in his grave.
Yeah.
Was when one of the dwarves turns to another dwarf. No, it's not a dwarf. It was one elf turns to another elf and says, I've got this. In Middle Earth, you've got an elf going, I've got this. So, at what point did hip hop culture come to the Shire, or come to Middle Earth? And like, mm-hmm, I'm a big fan of the phrase, I've got this. I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it a lot. I like to say it. I like to hear it. I like it when it gets busted out in TV shows and everybody bristles, like everybody like gets a little bit like spine tingling, like, yeah, some shit's going to go down because he said, mm-hmm, I got this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need it in my Middle Earth fantasy.
What if he had said, hold my beer instead?
Oh, now, you see, because you can absolutely just say, hold my beer. And that, actually, that would work. I would be, if they'd have done, like, if you've got, like, a Gimli. And Gimli's just seen some shit happen. And he just turns to you know, Legolas. Okay. And he says, hold my beer. That's fucking dope. I'm down for that. Because those three words work in that context. That would be amazing. And I would like
you
to
know
think
what?
The audience, yeah, would enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do they ever refer to the drink? You know, they go to the bar. They're having what is like a beer or a mead or whatever. Do they call it? Mm-hmm. Do they call it beer? I feel like
I'm
they call it something
sure.
else.
I'm pretty sure it is just beer. Yeah, yeah. Because I'm fairly sure. Barley. Is it Bar? What's his name? Barleyman, the innkeeper at the Prancing Pony, like. They're all getting pissed, and I'm pretty sure it's all beer. It's just, mm-hmm, yeah, it's just beer. And wine might be mentioned, but that's, yeah, a ladies' drink. And there are no ladies. There are what, two ladies in the Lord of the Rings. So yeah,
extra special bitter,
extra
or
special
ale.
Yeah,
I don't remember. Anyways,
I mean, beer is like centuries
beer.
Old. So like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
perfectly fine.
For sure,
and people
for sure.
used to drink beer way before they drank water because the water wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
And it was a safer way to drink, to get your water in,
yeah,
before we knew how to clean water.
Yeah.
And that's why, apparently, we have glassware, and in China, they have china, because they got to drinking tea way before we did. So, like, tea's there, you know, whatever. And we have glassware because we drank beer before we drank tea, if I remember rightly.
You got to run before you can walk.
Yeah, absolutely.
My mom just texted me, I'm having way too much fun shopping. You should never have told me about Prime Day.
Oh, my word. Okay.
That's okay. Good for her. She needs to
Good
shop,
for,
actually.
Yeah. Yeah. As Marge Simpson once said, shop till you droop. I think, Mum, it's shop till you drop. Well, I always just thought shop till you drop sounded too violent.
I'm just imagining her hair Simpsons. Just like kind of tilting over a little bit and kind of dripping.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, making a Simpsons 2, Simpsons movie 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a show. And just a new show
the
called
Simpsons,
Simpsons
2.
There's only been one movie?
Yeah, I know.
Crazy.
Only the one. 2007.
Only the one.
But it's coming out again in a couple of years. So, not coming out again. They're going to have another go. And I watched a great video that was like, people, like normal people, aren't prepared for how much mostly Marge Simpson's voice has changed in 20 years.
Oh.
They're not going to be, because, you know, people don't watch The Simpsons that much anymore, mm-hmm, or as much.
Mm-hmm.
I still dip in occasionally. And her voice is insane now.
Oh, funny. Is it the same person?
Yeah, it's still Nancy... No, I was going to say Nancy Spears, but that's almost definitely wrong. Yardley Smith is the only one I can remember who's Lisa. It's Nancy something. And she's always had an insane voice anyway.
Yeah.
But as she's, you know, she's 20 years older now, and she's been doing this for nearly 40 years.
Wow.
Started in 1990 or 91 on the Tracy Emin.
Wasn't it like 30? Oh, yeah, I guess. Wow. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Insane.
By 2027, it, you know, you're sort of starting to knock on, you know, late 30s, early 40s. Yeah, she's been, you know, doing that role. So, of course, her voice has changed. Everyone else's is a little, but like hers, because it was insane to begin with, it's just got more and more and more insane. And so that could be quite jolting for people. Like, what the hell happened to Marge?
Sure. If they just watch the Simpsons movie beforehand, yeah, they're like to get prepared, and then they come into the sequel, and it's like, what?
Yeah,
it's a lot of cigarettes.
Well, I
don't know. I don't know.
It's just she has an unusual voice anyway, and it evolves as we get older. Mm-hmm. The vocal folds and shit become tighter and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I know something we can talk about. You're totally into the new Taylor Swift album that dropped and is taking the world by storm.
So I've heard that there's a lot of plagiarism in it.
That I have not heard that, but you know what? After listening to it, there's definitely been some wow, this sounds really familiar.
Yep.
Morgan and I were talking about that. It's kind of funny how much she doesn't plagiarize herself. Like, she writes a lot of songs.
Yeah.
A ton of songs. And yeah, it's kind of crazy how she can actually still make songs that sound different.
Yes. Yeah. No, but I'm, yeah, what, I'm 100% with you.
Is there legit controversy about that, or is it? I've
heard a couple of bits. It was mainly someone complaining that people are using the word sampling wrong and saying that she is sampling. She's not sampling. She's being influenced by certain songs and going, I might just make something that sounds a little bit like I Want You Back by the Jackson 5.
Oh, yeah. No, those are clear nods. I think that's more like, not fan service, but like appreciation than like ripping off.
Okay.
I don't know if that's...
I'm here for that. I'll hear that.
Yeah, it's like Weird Al's style parody. You know, it's like not. What's that? Why can Weird Al do it and not Taylor?
Context, because that's the context in which Weird Al presents himself. He doesn't present himself as a meaningful singer songwriter, or as a pop star. He presents himself as a comedy musician.
Sure. And so a legitimate pop star, singer-songwriter has to make new things that have never sounded like anything else before? Like, that's
no, but I think if you want to sample, I think that's cool. I think if you are edging so close to something that it's like, why don't you just cover that song then I'm like... There's accidental stuff that happens all the time. You know, like songs just occasionally, you know, there's only so many fucking chord progressions or chords and
that
and that's fair enough.
But if you cover it, then it's about whatever that old song is about. And if you want to have it be, you know, bring forward that context into what you're saying now. Mm-hmm. I mean, that song, I think it's I Want You Back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can have that kind of feeling as you're listening to her song about something else. It's kind of similar, kind of different. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, there you are.
But also, you know, obviously I like remixes.
Yeah.
And taking somebody's words and completely changing them to be whatever I want them to be.
Now I'm the one in charge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing about not plagiarizing yourself, I think, is interesting because, you know, there's a band that I really enjoy.
Stop plagiarizing yourself.
There's a band I enjoy called the Zac Brown Band, and it is sometimes difficult. There are a few songs where you're like, is this that one? Oh, no, it's the other one that starts and has a similar chord progression. And it's like, yeah, you know, that's...
Oh, yeah.
But then maybe that's the limited genre of country and western, or country. But they will equally have songs that they'll do with Snoop Dogg about smoking weed. So, you know, I'm happy with that. Yeah.
I've made a new permanent decision.
Oh my word.
I'm not going to go back on it.
Right.
I'll go this way.
What? Oh my word. Hello. Whoa. That is an listener, there is an explosion of color on Brendan's arm, and there is what I can only describe as the Enneagram star, and he's put a star on what would be the nine.
Number nine. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a new tattoo.
Shit.
Of the Enneagram over a watercolor spectrum of the rainbow.
The rainbow.
Yeah. It's
so tell me all about it, man.
It's pretty cool. I've been planning this for like a year and a half now, maybe 2 years almost. And it started off super simple. It was more or less just a triangle. And because of the 3-6-9 triad in the middle that I am sitting in. And yeah, just as I thought about it more, I like kind of wanted the whole context instead. And so it evolved to the full Enneagram. And I was looking up different... I liked the idea of like black brushstrokes for each of the for each of the lines within the Enneagram. And there's a Japanese style of drawing a circle called starts with an O. I can't remember Olu or something. And it's like doing a perfect circle brushstroke with one stroke, or sometimes two, but doing like one circle around, and it kind of like starts off strong and fades out. And so I have that where it starts on the bottom and curls around to the opposite side, and then there's a little gap at the bottom, and that's the trough between the four and the five, where there's quite a big change in difference between the two. And so that was left intentionally open. And then the triangle between the 3-6-9 is a bold brushstroke, because that's you know, what I'm connected to. And that one also has the line between the 3 and the 6 is a little bit weaker, a little bit lighter, so that there's, you know, 'cause I'm not really usually going between 3 and 6. I'm either at 9 going to 3 or going to 6. So those are the main pathways, I kind of feel like. As you mentioned, the 9 is in a big, bold black star, because that's me. Next to it are the 1 and the 8, which are open stars, a little bit smaller, because those are my wings.
Wing.
The 3 and the 6 are also open stars, because they're my wings. And they are not on... They're the only parts that are not on the paint, to denote their difference as well. And then the other four stars are a little bit smaller, just representing that they're there, but I'm not connected to them. So it's like, we see you kind of thing. And all, as well as all the, I don't know if they're called transients or, I can't remember what the lines in the middle of the Enneagram are called, if they have a name at all. But the ones that I'm not connected to are in a thinner brushstroke. And then it's all on top of a rainbow spectrum, which is double meaning for me, like the rainbow as in like pride and you know, being queer. And then also it's in the color arrangement of the chakras, and just kind of thinking about that, the different energy centers of the body. And I don't know why I keep touching my microphone, but I'm waving my hands for the podcast listener a whole bunch, and so that's why. Yeah. Sorry for the extra Foley noise there, but I've been so excited. I took a time lapse of it, which was really cool, and that it was great. I've taken a time lapse of each of my tattoos, and this one I forgot to bring my iPhone stand, and I was like, oh, I guess I'll have to just hold it, and that'll be a bummer.
No.
And because I was in the chair for over 3 hours getting this tattoo, and but luckily she has a lamp above to give her working light, and it had like two, is a LED lamp with like a flat thing, and that there was like two blades that come out with the lights on it, and there's like this gap in the middle, and I could just place my phone right on top of her. I asked her first. I was like, is this okay? Yeah. I don't want to be weird, but like, this would be perfect. And she's like, oh yeah, that's no problem at all. And so it was just this top down, brightly lit, no shadows, perfect look of the time lapse. Perfect. So yeah, that's my new ink and my first color tattoo. So we'll see how that goes. I really love the watercolor tattoo style.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that speaks to me about, I don't even like watercolor paintings, but the watercolor tattoo just looks so cool. And there's little detail that's really hard to see unless you're here in person, but like it really looks like color has been like kind of, you know how like watercolor kind of like it moves color from another spot to like, it circles around with the with like not bubbles but drops or whatever, like the color can be pulled in different directions, and it has that style and look, and I don't know, I just love it. I love it.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
You are quite the journeyman. And I think it's very interesting. You are discovering what is within and what is without.
Yes.
I'm enjoying you're a great big dirty hippie, Christian hippie, and I love it. Go on.
Yeah, I don't feel like a Christian, but also it's hard because
you're exploring
I'm not really aligned probably with most Christians. And so, yeah, calling it, like denoting myself that way, it just feels weird. Like the place that I go to is called Imago Dei Community, not church. Even they were like, from the beginning, we're trying to do something different here. We actually just want the core good stuff. We're not trying to do political manipulation. We're not trying to like do like this different activisms and stuff. And it's like we're here to like, they have a shower truck that comes in every Monday morning for houseless people to come get cleaned up and get some food and snacks and free clothes and conversation and connection with people. And the ceremony hall is open for everybody. You know, they highly encourage, there's different addiction recovery community groups there that bring people in, and there's so much, they do so much with kids. It's amazing. I don't know. It's such a different feel from the other churches I've been to and what I see when I hear about Christianity. And so it's hard to be like, yeah, I'm a Christian, because that my idea of a Christian is so different than what I'm doing.
But also I think we tend to do this thing, and I know I definitely do this thing of when we sort of other people, we have this like, we put like other people as though that's a thing, that's a category of people that exists. other Christians or other whatever.
Yeah.
It's they like, behave like this. They think yeah. this.
It's like 9 billion to 1, I think. So
yeah.
It's a big group.
And I was at a funeral a couple of weeks ago, and I think he was an actual... he was what they call a lay priest or a lay preacher. But he had the dog collar and stuff. And he came down and sat to the left of me, immediately to the left of me. And I was like... And then I was like, yeah, but he's a guy. Like, mm-hmm. he's a guy. And he's got a sense mm-hmm. of humour. And he's got this, mm-hmm. these things and that things. And like, I bet you if you... Like, if I went in with some bullshit, mm-hmm. he'd... look quite taken aback, like, whoa, what are you doing? But mm-hmm. also, like, I reckon we'd have an interesting conversation, and it wouldn't be mm-hmm. one that's like him proselytizing or him, you know, it would just be, well, these are the things I believe in. And I'd probably come away going, fuck, guy makes some good points. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because. Go on.
Why fuck?
Because I don't like any of it. I don't like any of it. It all sucks. It's all dumb. But people are nice, and people's intentions are good. So I would have a conversation with him, and I'd be like, "Fuck, I hate all of this, but his heart's in the right place, and he's a good person. I just don't like all the fucking stuff." Don't like the God stuff, and I don't like their religious stuff, and I don't have a place for it in my life. But that's, you know, that's my journey through the world, you know.
Yeah. I don't necessarily like believe in ghosts or like a lot of like supernatural kind of things in general, but like I've felt for a long time that there's more than I can perceive.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, definitely with my experiences with psychedelics and the spirits I've communed with, and yeah, different trials I've been through where it's felt like something was pushing me or connecting me. The collective unconscious has felt like something that has been real in my life at different times. I don't feel like I do as much translating in the moment as I used to. Like, they would use words like God or Jesus or this or that, that I would feel like, okay, I have an idea of what they probably think, mm-hmm. which is something that I think is ridiculous. Maybe if I think of God as like just creation in general, or like the concept of creation, that is God or whatever. Like, okay, I can be okay with that. Or when they talk about like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and they're talking about the Father being, we have an idea of what they are talking about with those things, and for me, I'm thinking Father as in like what has created me, or all of my ancestors, like my father and his father and his father and his father, and those, that is the Father. The Son is the person next to me. Is the person that's alive right now that I can talk to, and they're also the son of a father and has a lineage. And the Holy Ghost is the spirit inside me, the energy, the voice in my head, the core essence, soul, whatever. And like that was how I translated it for a while. And now that's fading for me. I'm not as worried about making sure my understanding of spirituality is the same as everybody else's. It doesn't matter. Like the cool thing is going to church and having a community. Like the cool thing is being connected with other people and and loving each other and being kind and good. And what I can get behind is that Jesus was like the best dude. He was just the best dude. He just did it. He was just really kind. Have you ever watched The Chosen?
No.
Dude, it's actually a legit great show. Okay. It's fantastic, especially if you read like Matthew and Luke or something, just to kind of get a little bit of, I don't know if you've read any of the New Testament, but having a little bit, it's reading the book and watching the movie of Lord of the Rings. It's the same. It's so great.
It's so not the same, but that's fine.
It's
that's
right. So the same. I like it a lot. I got to finish it. Yeah, I don't know. It's fun. It's fun, man. I'll leave it at that.
Good. You're following I'm just gonna say you're following a path. I don't know that you are. You're seeing a path and then figuring out what your path is. Like it's drawing itself. As you walk it, and that's
mm-hmm.
really cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It never really comes up like arguing with another person next to you about the differences of what you believe in, you know. It's like we're all just happy that we're there. Nobody's like fighting for, like, maybe the pastor is a little bit like when I had the one-on-one, it's like, no, I really believe this and I want you to too. I was like, okay, well, we'll work on that. Mm-hmm. But nearly everybody else is just like, oh, I want good for you. And man, it feels good to just be in a crowd of people that all want good for all the rest of the people in the crowd. It's really beautiful.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
There was I woke up on Friday and I got as I was sat down having my coffee, I got a text from upstairs that there was a
from God
person. There was a homeless person in our building on my floor.
Mm-hmm.
And he was charging his laptop and smoking weed.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, this is what I heard.
Good for
and
him.
So I texted back to say, has anyone checked on him? See if he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the response came back, no, I was rushing off to work. Mm, okay. Fair enough. So I stepped out and went to go and see him and woke him up. And immediately he was like, I'm just trying to get my head down, because it was very bad weather the night before. And I said, listen, I'm not here to surf you out. Do you want a drink? No problem, but could you not smoke weed? Because, that can upset people. But just like, you know, and then I had to go to the shop because I had a builder in and I wanted to make sure that I had milk. Because, you know, you've got to, not a builder, sorry, an electrician, you know, you've got to keep your tradespeople watered.
And
I went and picked up some, well, you know, if not fed, then at least watered. So I went up to the shop and picked up some like cup of soups and, do you have that phrase, cup of soup?
Cup of noodles.
Yeah, it's like that, you know, just like a soup, but powdered, yep. You know, powdered soup.
Powdered
got some
soup.
Of those, yeah. And got him a sandwich, and made him a cup of tea and delivered said sandwich and just sort of left him there and sort of went about my day and he'd been mm-hmm. there for a while. Mm-hmm. My first... That's never happened before, and that was interesting.
Mm.
And... I've been here for 10 years and when I lived in my old place, that never happened. The only incursions into the building were birds that had somehow got in and they couldn't figure out how to get out again. And it, you know, it was an interesting sort of, I don't know, man, it feels like a sign of the times, of times to come. Yeah, like I just acted on, like, I don't know. Cause there's so much like bullshit and judgment and all sorts of things about homeless. And like my electrician, he's a nice guy, but he came in, and the gentleman was still outside. And he'd apparently asked him for a cigarette and my electrician said, you know, no, don't smoke or whatever. And he immediately then with me launched into, he's homeless, he shouldn't be smoking. It's like,
the fuck?
Why do we do those things? Like, I'm not, you know, like, and throughout all of this, I was texting a couple of mates being like, I think I'm doing the right thing, but I also don't want to be naive, like, because, you know, sure, I can be a bit like, you know, oh, whatever. But, you know, I also know that some people can take the piss or whatever. But why do so many people, like, I don't know, it's almost as if people are being homeless at us. You know what I mean? It's like,
sure,
why are you being homeless at me?
Right. And take,
you know, and take the fact that it, they're around is, you know, and it's like, okay, you know, there are times and like, you know, I don't have money. I don't carry cash on me. So, you know, there are plenty of people now who come up to you on the street and it's like, I don't have any money. Mm-hmm. But I've never been.
What if they flash a Venmo at you and we're like,
oh, that's not a thing that existed, but yeah, like if they had a little card there, reader.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah,
a tap to pay.
A little tap to pay.
Would you do it?
And this therein lies the struggle.
But because I know you have with like street performers.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I've got an inbuilt thing, like, I'm not generous to a fault. I'm not generous to the point where like a complete stranger who I've never met, like I that's where it sort of ends for me. But I'm also, it doesn't sit super comfortably because like, I also know that whole thing of, like if you give someone a fiver and you have a conversation, you know, as you're like, I imagine this all the time, and I think I've heard or been aware of conversations like this. Like, you know, you could be walking with someone, and then a homeless person asks, "Have you got some money?" And maybe you give them a few quid, maybe you give them a fiver, and your interlocutor, the person you're with, says, "What are you doing? He's only gonna waste that on drink and drugs." And like, the great response is like, "Yeah, that's what I was gonna do." Like, you know, it's that, that whole thing again of where we judge what a homeless person is supposed to spend money on. And we do that all the time.
Yeah. They need to put that in their savings account or invest it what the fuck?
That £5 that they get maybe if they're lucky once every, I really don't know what the metrics are, but it's not going in an ISA. It's not going in a mutual fund. Right. And that whole thing is just such boomer bullshit from back in the day where you could buy a house and it cost you £100. And they don't understand why it's, you know, why the youth today are too busy eating avocado toast and not saving up. And it's like, dude, the two things don't add up.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I don't want to be, like, I'm just going to say it, and then I'm not sure it, like, how much I actually stand by it, but like, I don't want to be a mark, as in lowercase m. I don't want to be a rube.
Yeah.
Because I'm not gullible, but I do believe everything everybody says to me. Because I take things on face value. Like, I really don't.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not because I'm, I don't think it's because I am naive. I just think it's because my brain hasn't leapt to that point of like, whatever. Maybe
sure.
I am naive.
I get it.
But yeah, man, there's a part of me that wants to be able to be the kind of person who can just, you know, here's a couple of quid or here's something.
Mm-hmm.
What do you need? But then at the same time, you know, and there's only so much of that you can do, you know. So, yeah.
I agree. Yeah, I think
and
it's...
that's why we get uncomfortable with this stuff.
It's, dehumanizing when somebody's like, oh, they're going to just do something I don't approve of with the money.
And, yeah.
All right. Well, then offer them service, like offer them your bed, offer them like, okay, you don't want to give them money. Give them a shower, give them a haircut or whatever they need. I don't know. Like
maybe this is what condescending. Is the thing
that, yeah. Oh, sure.
But
it
is. Have a conversation.
Uh huh.
Like actually sit acknowledge down and the like, person. What if you had a conversation? Not and one that isn't transactional. What if
right.
it was just
right.
you know, you could ask them what you know what got you here. And I think, you know, it feels like increasingly there's that whole thing, that adage that you're like only three mortgage payments away from being homeless or whatever. And everybody's got their own story. I mean, and it's such a remarkable thing that like people, and I don't know if you have this in America, I think we have this fucked up aspect of our society that again, like thinks people have this idea that begging is somehow a job and like people kind of choose to do it when they could be doing something else. And right. I kind of just think that seems like the stupidest fucking thing in the world.
Yeah.
But it's really pervasive as an idea.
Yeah.
That you know, they earn this money and then it all goes to wherever it goes, you know, it all goes to their family back home, which is like
right.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, like
mm-hmm.
so what's your problem there that they're not paying tax? I you know, I don't know.
Yeah, that they're supporting their family.
Yeah. Like or that somehow. Yeah, I think there's a kind of conservative kind of idea that like, well, they just haven't tried hard enough.
Yeah.
Or they've given up and so they've turned to begging. I don't know, like there's so much toxic shit around it.
Yeah.
And money, you know, it just breeds so much of that because you're like, well, this is mine and I need it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's like and it's also that horrible thing of like you can't have it. It's not I don't want to give it. It's I don't want to give you the money. Like that's also mm-hmm. another thing of like mm-hmm. I hate all of it. But if someone turns up near where I live and yeah. I can get them a sandwich and a cup of tea and what you know mm-hmm. and whatever. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. I remember seeing quite a bit of people in London who appeared like houseless or were begging or whatever. I don't remember in Birmingham what. I don't recall seeing people on the streets as much.
Yeah.
Is that less of a thing in where you are?
Or are they just
in a different area?
Definitely, yeah. The closer you are to the center of town,
mm-hmm.
You will find that. And that's why like it is such a surprise for you know. For what you might determine a kind of suburban area, which I guess this is effectively a suburb. For that to be the case now is unusual. More unusual. But yeah, they're definitely like if you walk into the train station, for example, mm-hmm. You will almost always encounter one or two.
Sure.
So yeah, they're about, but yeah, I don't know. I wish there wasn't so much complicated story bullshit about it. If you know, if you were an alien, and it's maybe like how I kind of want to approach it, I don't know, but at the same time, I'm fighting myself with this idea. But like, if you were an alien and you'd been here for like a week and you'd seen how people typically live, and then you saw someone without, you know, who was wrapped up and obviously looks cold, or is, you know, clearly sitting in a doorway and doesn't have anything, and maybe is asking you if you've got anything that you can spare anything. If you're an alien, you're going, well, shit, yeah, like what can I do? What can I give you? But we've internalized so much, and actually it's something I kind of, because this is kind of, I'm finding this a little bit stirring actually, because I'm into looking at the arguments when it comes to things like immigration and like all of these things that we that cause arguments over the dinner table, right? And trying to have the facts or have the rhetoric that's on the right side of history. And like I'm absolutely down for that. What I need to now Google is to find that the same understanding of like, no, this idea that the homeless people are grifters, here's why that's not true. And then I think why do I need that though? Is another thing. Like, why do I need that to power my generosity? Oh, fucking generosity, but power my like compassion.
Yep. Yep. Do you have that conversation with people often?
If I feel like it is a debate, not a debate.
Obviously it kind of came up with this instance you just were discussing in the text, and
it's more of like a conversation that's like in the ether that's not always spoken aloud.
Sure. I feel like it could just fall back to they're a person.
Yeah. But they're a person, and they asked for some help, and I could help.
Yeah.
I have thought of the idea I don't carry cash, but have thought of the idea of just at least having some on me.
I've been doing that lately, and just it makes it easier to be able to hand it out if I need to, and it's not a burden. to carry like 10, 15 bucks around.
Then the other story is you get people approaching, and this can happen a fair amount of time. You'll get people approaching you and they just want a couple of pounds for the bus. And it's like, that's definitely a grift. What do you do there? Because that's like,
why is that definitely a grift?
I'm going on some past experience and I'm making some judgments. It's just, like that one, it smells bad. Like it smells bad. And
because the bus is so cheap that you should be able to afford it, or
no,
like what's, because you don't think that they're actually going on a bus ride?
No, I don't think they're going on a bus. I think they're walking the streets, collecting from a few people, getting enough together for, you know, something that, because like
a good time that they kind of need.
You see, now this is where it gets interesting, because yes, we can have the whole of, well, I'm just going to spend it on drinking drugs, that's cool. However, in my family, I have not with my own eyes. Well, no, I have sort of seen it a little bit with my own eyes. There's some serious debilitating social services level drug abuse within people that I hung around with as a kid. Say that much. And there's a difference between, I just want to get enough scratch together so I can have a spliff, does that, but then there's also, can I get enough together so I can buy a bag of something that I can shoot up with?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's so much more dangerous and debilitating, and that's not something that one wants to enable. And I think that level of judgment is probably healthy, to be like, that's not behavior that I want to enable, because
okay. Breaking that down a little bit, it sounds like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that scenario is making a judgment on a person immediately on what you think that the receiver is going to do with the money, and saying it's not good enough. It's the same as the person next to you being like, oh, they're just gonna spend it on booze, mm-hmm. and you replying with, well, so would I.
Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't spend it on heroin.
Of course you wouldn't. And what I'm saying is that the person next to you that made that comment, maybe they like, well, it doesn't matter what they were going to do, but they're making a judgment as saying it's not good enough to give them money because they're going to waste it on booze and they're going to waste it on heroin. But that person on the street who is an addict, like, not getting that is going to be a worse time. And they're still going to get it eventually, probably, or die, or be unhappy. Like, the person gets the autonomy to make the decision with what they do with that money, whether they go on a bus ride or shoot up.
But if you're asking for someone's money, that's not autonomy. What they choose to do with their own money. We're hitting up the edges of, I'm not going to call it the edges of compassion because that's not what this is. But we're,
yeah,
you know,
you're trying
we're
to be protective
strings,
and helpful.
The strings
yeah.
that are attached.
Yeah. 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 I don't know. I can't tell what somebody's going to do with what I give them based on how I look at them or my interaction with them. That's.
And so does that mean you give everyone something or you give no one anything?
No, I give.
That wasn't a challenge. I want you to tell me.
Sure.
Tell me what to do.
I mean, I give when I'm occasionally. It's every so. It's definitely not every person, or else I'd be broke.
Yeah.
Especially in Portland. Yeah. Oh my God. But when I feel God's hand pushing me, it feels like, oh, I need to give. I haven't given in a bit, and I need to, like, this person is right here, and great. It never crosses my mind what they're going to do with the money. And that actually doesn't...
Do they not ask
Because
I'm talking people who are specifically asking you and telling you what they want the money for.
Yeah, yeah. People typically when I hear something like, I need a bus ride, or I'm traveling down here or whatever, it's almost always in a parking lot. It's so funny. People will come up to me in a parking lot and be like, oh, I just need $5 for the bus, or, you know, whatever it is. And yeah, I don't know, 50% of the time I'm like, yeah, I got some, here you go. Maybe less. But you know, most of the time when I'm seeing somebody there, they'll have a sign or whatever at the corner of a street where there's a stoplight or whatever, and like that's pretty common, and they'll say, you know, hungry and homeless or something like that, and it's just like, yeah, man, I hope you get a good meal or find a place to for some cover or whatever, you know, like, I feel for you. And maybe they just turn around and light it up. I don't know, it doesn't matter.
That's interesting.
Like, yeah, what is like, I guess I'm not worried about enabling somebody as somebody who's gone through the addiction path.
No, I'm using that as a crutch. I'm using that as an excuse, if you like.
Oh,
where I think the difference, where we maybe have a difference here, and I think it's a difference in mentality, and it's one that I would be happier adopting, is scarcity versus abundance. I think you're coming from this from an abundant mentality.
Like, yeah.
It doesn't,
yeah.
You know, this, I have some, here it is. And I'm coming from it when I'm very much from a scarcity.
Like, sure.
You know, I need it. Like, I, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have that much.
Yeah.
But I also know. It's
that much more meaningful when you are able to give through that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I also, I sort of don't mind, like, having a policy and just saying to people, as a rule, I don't give to people who come up to me on the street. I might go to someone else and see someone else who's, you know, whatever, and that's a different situation. And like I said, you know, the fellow who was here, like, I'll do what I can. So it's not about, I'm never going to help anyone. So I don't know. Like, I think it's the ambiguity that I don't like, and all the sort of, and I do think it is. It's like, if there have been times where I've had plenty of money, but I also know it's not about whether you have the money. It's about you have the mindset of, well, more will come. Like, I don't need it right now. More will come at another time.
Yeah.
It's also a small amount, but, like, I mean, you know, £5 is a meaningful amount.
Yeah.
But at the same, yeah, and it's like, it's not really about whether you have the money. It's about whether you have the mindset about me losing something means someone else gains something, rather than us both, me not actually really losing anything meaningful. You know, it's easier to be generous when you've got plenty, but also that's bullshit. So... Yeah.
And if to be fair, and to expose a little bit of my internal judgment and hesitation, if somebody is smoking a cigarette, I usually walk right by them and pass. I don't stick around. If they're smoking weed or have, like, a wrapped bottle in a paper bag or anything like that, I'm like, I'm not discouraged, but if it's a tobacco cigarette, man, that turns me the fuck off. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what trauma happened to me with tobacco cigarettes in my youth or what, but it always fills me with rage and, I hate the smell. I feel like I'm being attacked by somebody. It feels violent. And so I don't like yell at them. I'm not angry, you know, mad at them or anything like that. I just don't like their choices. No, and I'm mad internally.
They are
bringing it. They're reminding me of it.
Yeah.
There have definitely been times where I felt like I was mad at them. I was like, fuck you for ruining my air. You know,
yeah.
But, I just hold my breath and that's fine. But I literally hold my breath because I don't know, something about, tobacco smoke. I cannot. But you know, as always, break through your habitual self. Beyond is the new world we seek. And correct me if I'm wrong.
Go Hawks.
Sometimes I wonder if, like, I should say the thing earlier, because, like, you get this, like, inquisitive face, like you're thinking about it, like, what is that? And, like, maybe there'd be discussion about the thing that I'm saying, but
it's also, I like that you come prepared with these things,
yeah.
With these little bon mots. It's very special.
Yeah.
You treat me very well.
Likewise, sir.